Streaming May 23rd only on BET Plus. Miss Pat is back.
I'm excited.
And it's time for some grown-ass family time.
I am a man.
Oh, you a man?
That's right. Then take my clothes off. You ain't pay for none of that on your back.
Dad, you can't ignore your mother forever. I've tried.
Would you like me to backhand you again?
The Miss Pat Show. Streaming May 23rd on BET Plus. To sign up and learn more, visit BET.plus.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
You're listening to the Reality Steve podcast with your host, Reality Steve. He's covering everything about Rachel's upcoming season of The Bachelorette. Now, the man with all your spoilers and behind-the-scenes juice in Bachelor Nation, here's Reality Steve.
Welcome, everyone, to podcast number 18. I am your host, Reality Steve. Appreciate you tuning in. As always, we are approaching 1.4 million downloads in just 4 months now. So thank you to all those who have been listening. Be sure to rate, subscribe, and review in iTunes. That would be a huge help. Tell your friends, pass the word along, and hopefully keep coming back every Thursday for a new guest to join the podcast. Okay, as for this week's guest, you know her as the only contestant to ever bring her dog with her out of the limo. She did that on Juan Pablo's season as we were introduced to Molly. Subsequently, her job title they created for her that season was dog lover. It is Kelly Travis. Kelly, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Immediately, just let everyone know your occupation. We know is not dog lover. Tell everyone what it is that you do.
I am still a dog lover.
Okay.
Just not getting paid for it, unfortunately. I do marketing part-time, but still loving dogs full-time.
Yes, you have. And how many dogs do you have now?
Two. Only two.
Molly and who?
Molly and Cole. We got a black lab, and he's the best.
How old is Molly now?
Oh, you would ask me that. I think she is 8. She's a rescue, so you never really know, but I think she's 8. She's getting grumpy. She's not as chill as she was on the show, but she's still great.
And how about Cole?
Cole is also a rescue. He is like 4, and he puts up with her. She bites him probably every other day. And like nice. Most guys, he just keeps coming back. He doesn't care. And he's a good dog.
Keeps coming back for more after getting just
he loves it.
Treated like crap. Gotcha. It's almost like the Amanda and Josh relationship. Oh, we'll get it. We'll get into that
all
later.
All dogs are the same.
Yeah. So why are you the only person in the history of the show that was able to bring your dog with you out of the limo? Is that something that you wanted to do? Did they suggest it? Like, how did that all come about?
No. I just asked. That was like a simple answer, but truly that is what happened. So during the interview process, I was in LA and they could tell I was hesitant about saying like, yeah, I'll definitely do it. And one of the producers asked me, why are you so hesitant? Most girls are, you know, yep, I'll be there. And I was like, honestly, like potentially I would have to board my dog for 9 weeks. And that's a long time for this guy that I know I'm not going to end up with. So I was like, I don't know. And he said, well, what if we let you bring her? And I was like, really? They didn't ask what kind of dog she was. They didn't ask anything else. And they're like, yeah. So when it came down to like, I guess it was probably 3 weeks before we were leaving for the show, he was like, oh, okay. Well, like, we're serious about you bringing the dog. you know, you got to figure out flight stuff. And so I had a doctor write a note so that she could fly on the plane with me. And she lived in the mansion. And then at that point, it's like, well, obviously she's going to get out of the limo and she's going to be a contestant. Because if I'm going to bring the dog, I have to really bring the dog. So
that is
she
awesome.
Wore a bandana that said, I heart Juan Pablo, yeah. Even though she could not stand him. And yeah, that was how it happened. And I became dog lover.
And let's not forget, Molly had a couple ITMs where she asked... I can't remember what they asked her, but I remember she had a couple ITMs that she filmed,
I remember that Kat was on a date, and I asked her how she felt about a cat being on a one-on-one date. And she would just, like, turn her head. She was so good on the show. You never know. I mean, she's a good dog, but there's people in and out of that house constantly, from sound crew to producers and girl. I mean, just people go in and out. And she was so good. She never barked through a rose ceremony. She never, I mean, she just sat there and was so chill. She was better than most of the other bitches in the house. But no, she's the best.
Interesting. Well, that's good that's good for Molly. Yeah, I mean, from what we saw. And the funny thing was, especially in the, I think it was the bloopers of that season, we saw her, would she go in the pool and pee? Didn't she do that?
Yeah, that's definitely not the first one to pee in the pool. There's been much worse in that pool, I assure you. Yeah, she had the life. She'd wake up every day and she'd go, like, get in the pool and then lay out and then get in the pool. My goodness, girl, she just living the dream. Unfortunately, her life has gone downhill from that.
Yeah, apparently. she didn't get any gigs after that. She's not promoting anything on Instagram.
Goodness, can't we get her, like, signed up for something? Sugar bear, gummy dogs?
Bark box. You've seen those bark boxes, haven't you?
I want to get her, like, a teeth whitening, like everyone else. I think that pays the big bucks.
Actually, after seeing Molly kind of gain weight over these last few years, I think maybe you should go with the flat tummy tea for her.
Flat tummy tea. We'll start promoting it and see if they'll pick her up.
Yeah. So when the show started... So you get out of limo, you have Molly with you, and you were on the first group date of the season where, you know, amazingly enough, you all dress like animals and you get the role of being a hairless dog, bald cap, everything. So your time on the show is off to a rip roaring start. You did get the group date, Rose, so I guess your willingness to do that paid off. But what would I have to pay you to ever wear that costume again?
I honestly thought it was funny. Oh. So had I been into Juan Pablo, I probably would have been livid that, I mean, I was in a thong and, like, a nude bra, and they spent all day painting my body. And I don't, some people know this about me that follow, but I don't do my own hair. I get blowouts and I let it go for like a week. So for me to have my hair slicked back in a bald cap, it was the worst possible outcome of any date that could ever happen. But because I wasn't really, like, into Juan Pablo, I was just like, I mean, it'll be fun. It's fine. So I had fun with it. But no, had it been anyone else, I probably would have been pissed.
So you say you weren't into Juan Pablo. This was from the get-go. Like, you didn't even, did you not even want to be there for him?
No, you know, in interview process, they always ask, like, okay, who would you love for it to be and who would you hate for it to be? And the two guys, I was like, you know, anyone other than Juan Pablo and Brooks. And after meeting Brooks, I love him. I take it back. After meeting Juan Pablo, I stick to my initial.
When you were in the interview process, who did you say that you were a yes to, or who would be a yes to?
I was okay with anyone other than those two, just because I was like, you know, the other guys seem like decent. I knew it wasn't going to be someone who was let go in the very beginning. So, I mean, I was okay with any of it, but Juan Pablo. And then it was one of those things where it's like, I knew I wasn't going to be the prettiest girl there. So I was going to try to use my humor to get me somewhere, but he doesn't really speak English. So that doesn't really work whenever I'm trying to be snarky and he doesn't get it. Like, there were so many times I'd, like, say something that was supposed to be funny and he would just stare at me. I'm like, all right, this is just not working. And I knew that going into it, there was going to be a huge language barrier.
Yeah. Well, it seemed that way. I mean, it seemed that way, not just with you, but with others all season. I mean, obviously the season was 3 or 4 years ago, and I remembered it at the time. Off the top of my head, I can't remember certain things. But yeah, it was obvious he wasn't catching on to certain phrases, English sarcasm he didn't get, I don't think, at all.
Yeah, at all, at all. And that really doesn't work well for me.
Well, yeah, exactly. Anybody that follows you on social media is very aware that you are sarcastic. And
yeah.
Yeah.
You either get it or you don't. And if you don't get it, you hate me.
Yeah.
Because it's really offensive.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be. I'm really just trying to be funny. Sometimes I fail miserably.
But. So it's safe to say from the beginning, you were pretty much, you knew you weren't going to get engaged to him at the end. So what was your goal at that point? Just to have friends and buddy up and whatnot?
At that point I had gotten out of a long relationship and I had been single for almost a year. And it was one of those things where I was like, you know what? Why not? Like, I'd been dating douchebags anyways. Might as well just go on the show and like have fun and travel and date a douchebag. Like, it's basically the same thing, only you get a vacation for a couple of weeks. So I thought if I got to go and go to cool places and hang out and got to take Molly, it was a win-win. I was going to try not to embarrass myself and I would be all right.
So while you were there, you're just getting the vibe in the house. Who did you think? You were on for 5 episodes, 3 in LA, then you went to South Korea, then you went to Vietnam, and you were eliminated in Vietnam. Who did you think, when you left 5 episodes in, who did you think he was going to pick?
I knew he'd pick Nikki.
Oh, really?
There was, yeah. I think that he was, you know, intrigued and interested in Charlene, but I knew that Charlene would never ever go that far on the show by her own choice, just because Charlene and I were so close in the house.
Yeah.
And I just knew there was no way she would end up with him. And although I know she thought he was hot, that doesn't end in marriage.
Yeah.
And Charlene's no dummy. And then connection with Nikki was the only connection he actually had. You know, that Claire had a little something with him, but you could tell it was just kind of fun. And then the other girls, it's like they wanted something to be there, but I mean, it's kind of hard whenever Juan Pablo's at the other end of it. So I also think Nikki was like, okay with what he was giving back, because Nikki, I love Nikki, but she's okay talking about herself all day. So if he's not like talking back, then it's fine, because she can keep talking about herself. So, and I love her. I mean, she's a friend of mine, but that's truly, you know, she could keep a conversation going just on her own thoughts. So.
Well, when we had Charlene on the podcast, she basically backed up what you said. I mean, she basically said, like, look, I really enjoyed him. It was fun. But when we got down to the meat and potatoes of it, when it was the six of them in Miami, she knew she couldn't go any further. She just said, like, it's too close to the end now to where it's getting serious. And basically she didn't want to give him the wrong impression that this was somebody that she could marry. Because she couldn't see herself.
Yeah, I don't think she would ever take him home to her parents.
That too. She threw that in there that, she wasn't going to introduce him to her parents. Do you have a best experience from when you were on it, like a most fun date, your favorite location from there? I mean, obviously you have a lot of friends that you have made from the show, but any one thing stick out to you?
You know, when we were in Korea, we had an off day. So in between filming had ended, rose ceremony had ended. And then there was one full day where we didn't have to do anything. And then we traveled the next day to Vietnam and they actually let us out, which is a huge deal, because up to that point, you were stuck in a hotel room and you got out on dates only, and you couldn't like read a book. You couldn't read a magazine. You know, there was no interaction with anyone else. So we got out in small groups. So it was like three of us with one producer, and we got to explore Korea, and we ate at like an authentic Korean barbecue place. And it was just like, we drank, and it was the best time.
Well, that sounds
good. Cause
it
was just us hanging out, and there was no cameras around. Even whenever you're in a hotel room while people are on dates, there are still cameras everywhere. So that was the best time. And then in Vietnam, I knew I'd be going home that week. And I had called like maintenance and was like, oh, I think our TV's not working. And somehow talked the guy into coming down and he fixed our TV. So Charlene and I were in a room together and we stayed in bed all day, like watching TV. And we're like, we don't feel good. We're not going to do any ITMs. And we just stayed in bed watching TV. It was like the best thing in the entire world, which sounds so ridiculous. But when you haven't had a TV for 5 weeks, it's the best.
So how did they... I mean, I know that every time you travel on every season, mm-hmm. when you get to hotels, everything is either unplugged or the TV is not even.
Yeah, they take the cord.
Yeah, take the cord and it's not even in there. So obviously anybody that's in a room can't turn on a TV. How did the producers not realize that you guys had gotten your TV turned on?
Well, they don't have keys to your room. I think a lot of girls are just afraid of getting in trouble.
Yeah.
And typically, you know, staff knows we're not allowed to have TVs, but there was a language barrier in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And so some maintenance guy came in and was like, oh, okay. And fixed it. And we're like, okay. And then we just didn't let a producer in. We kept the TV volume down quietly. So if they knocked on the door, we'd turn it off really fast. And yeah, no one ever knew until now. Now they know.
Well, good. Maybe any future contestant on the show is listening and realizes you can get away with stuff if you're willing to be daring. And if you're
not, it's like, what are they going to do? Kick you off the show? Like,
yeah,
you watch TV. I don't think that's going to happen. We tried to get the phone to work too, but we couldn't. I'm like, oh. Yeah. So we got TV for a night and then I went home the next day.
So when it was all said and done and you had found out that Juan Pablo had chosen Nikki, what were your initial thoughts? Like in your mind, how long did you think they were going to last?
They actually lasted longer than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Only because Nikki's really smart, which I know like sometimes they played up her like playful dumb stuff on air, but she's actually like a smart girl. I mean, she's a nurse and like she can carry a conversation and she's like fun to be around. So I expected it to last like 2 months, but they were going for like what, 6-8 months? Man, I don't know.
Let's
exactly.
See. Yeah. I mean, from the time they technically got engaged, yeah, I want to say maybe it was 8 or 9 months, something like that. Because they would have gotten engaged in November. I know they went and filmed couples therapy, which we'll get to in a second. I want to say in the summertime. So that puts it about 8 months right there. And then they broke up shortly after couples therapy.
That.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it was like...
That's longer than I expected.
I mean,
I guess long distance helps because they didn't have to see each other that much, so she didn't have to deal with them too often. But,
yeah,
I mean, they had come to Atlanta once, and he was kind of, no, we can only hang out with my friends, so I didn't get to see her. And then now, like, she comes to Atlanta with her husband, and I always see her. So, I never saw them together outside of the show.
And you're friends with her, obviously, like you said, her and her current husband, who was a guy that she was dating before she went on The Bachelor,
always
Tyler.
End up with those, don't we?
Yeah, you always end up with your ex that you put on hold while you go on the show.
I feel like Juan Pablo, though, it's like we all went running back.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is what we could have ended up with.
Well, I mean,
like
just
couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Just off the top of my head, I want to say, well, obviously there was you because you had said earlier on that you were in a long relationship before. I believe that's with your current husband,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, with Hunter, with my husband.
Okay.
Yes.
And then obviously there's Nikki with Tyler Van Loo. And I want to say, Charlene said this on the podcast
Charlene
that she had briefly met Andy before the show. Yeah.
No, she met him after.
Oh,
the
she
show.
Met him after. So it wasn't Charlene. She didn't go running back to an ex.
No, she was dating a guy before, and then I think they broke up, and then like they started like after the show started like talking again, but not for a very short period of time.
Yeah,
I mean, I think like 2 weeks or something. I mean, it was, and then she met Andy.
Okay, and so obviously you're friends with Nikki. You've seen her. At the time that her and Juan Pablo had gone on couples therapy, and it seemed like that doomed their relationship, because shortly afterwards they were done. And you could see clearly on that show that they certainly had some issues. Did she ever talk to you about that and that whole experience and what went into that decision to even go on couples therapy?
No, I think that, like, genuinely she thought it was going to help. I mean, we didn't talk much about couples therapy just because, you know, you try not to pry into stuff like that whenever it's not your best friend. And although I'm friends with Nikki, I'm much closer to Charlene and Andy and Christy. You know, it's one of those things where it's like you can't ask someone at that point. It's like, well, I saw this on TV. What's going on? So I think that she genuinely went on the show trying to get it to work out. But I think during that whole thing, she realized there's no way. And she's like a strong girl. So I'm shocked. And like I said, I'm shocked it lasted that long.
Yeah. And we're looking at, yeah, I think it was right after they filmed that in the summer and then they came back and it was shortly thereafter. I want to say October is when it ended. And I want to, and for some reason I remember that because there was some subtweeting going on between her and Juan Pablo when Juan Pablo was in San Francisco one weekend with a female and posted a picture on Instagram. And then I think Nikki responded on Twitter with some happy face or something along those lines. And it was
kind of remember. Yeah. Something like that.
I kind of remember that. And I remember it was during baseball. I remember it was during the baseball playoffs, which is October. So that's why I remember that. Okay. But yeah,
that's long. I mean, she didn't have a ring. So for a girl to stick around without a ring, you know, cause you go on that show thinking, hey, at least I'll get that 2-carat ring. She didn't have an I love you. She didn't have anything other than like him just being kind of him. I don't know. I mean, I guess she was into it.
And what was I going to say about the one thing I lost my train of thought in regards to something Nikki and Juan Pablo related, and it's going to bug me
about
until the end
therapy.
Of this. It might have been a couples therapy. It's going to bug me until the end. Anyway, let's, if I remember it, this has to do with just Nikki and stuff just pops into my head. This has to do kind of with Nikki in general and to do with the show. Can you confirm or deny that there was a Mean Girls Club going on your season?
Okay. I heard that the quote unquote nice girls coined us as the Mean Girls, but
well, who's us?
It was so in the Mean Girls Club would be me, Nikki, Andy, Charlene.
Okay.
Which is absurd because Charlene was not mean to anyone. I was not mean to anyone. I would say like snarky things to their face, but it wasn't like meant to be mean. The only person that anyone could say I was actually mean to would be Claire. And I wasn't even mean to her. I said stuff like to be funny. And then at the end of it, she was pissed about it. So like Claire and I, she wouldn't say a word to me if I saw her in an alleyway with just me and her. But and Nikki,
it was stuff that Nikki you said that just, that aired and she didn't see it until it was the stuff that she didn't see until the show aired.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, there's a whole thing with that, but yeah. Nikki was more like bratty and they considered it Mean Girls. Like she wanted to get a wax. So in Vietnam, like they went and found her a microwave so she could warm up wax and give herself a wax.
Yeah.
Before one-on-one, that sort of stuff. So then all of a sudden it was like Mean Girls. Instead, she was just someone who's like, hey, like if I'm going to go on a date with this guy who I'm potentially going to marry, I need a wax. And you guys need to figure it out, which, I mean, I don't blame her. Like, ask and you shall receive, just like getting Molly on the show.
I mean, yeah. No, I mean, the funny thing is, like, I'm glad you told that story because now, I mean, I reported that back, I think it was after your season had aired, and I was talking about Nikki stuff, and it was something that I had heard through the grapevine as well, and I reported that there was a time in Vietnam where she needed a wax, and she sent a handler out to go get a microwave so she can get waxed correctly. And thank you for confirming that story for me. I appreciate it.
That happened. But at the same time, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, a handler broke Andy's steamer. And then all of a sudden we're somewhere without an iron and a steamer. And Andy's like, I need a steamer. Like, you broke my steamer. You need to go get me a steamer. So they would have to go get a steamer. Like, one of the handlers lost my jacket. And so we were, I think, in Korea. And I'm like, I need that jacket now because it's cold. So someone needs to go get me a jacket. And, you know, it's like one of those things where it's like things happen and it seems bratty, but you've been without like any resources for a long period of time. It's like, okay, if you're not going to let me go get wax, then you need me to get a microwave from some random town in Vietnam. I mean, it's just.
The girl had no other way to groom herself. She had no other way to wax herself. Yeah. Someone needed to go get it.
And people who wax, they won't go back to shaving. So
somebody's
got to, someone's got to take the fall for that. But then the girls were just like, oh, mean girls, da 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 da. I think it also happened like after the show, you have certain girls that you are going to be friends with. It's just like in high school and in school, like you weren't friends with everyone in your class. So there are people that you're going to get along with better than others. And you are forced around these girls 24/7. We're not all going to get along. No one was like mean, beating each other up. But it's one of those things like after the show, there's no reason for us all to talk.
Yeah. No,
and I think like we had a group chat at one point, and then it's like people started chats on the side and just all kinds of drama. I can remember like sending a text in the group chat once it went silent and Nikki was off the show, and I sent a text like of someone's penis, and I was like, oh, sorry, that was Nikki was asking me to send that to Andy, so they thought it was Juan Pablo, but it was a joke. And then one of the girls went to a tabloid and like gave that story away.
Oh my God. Now you're totally refreshing my memory. I remember this story. So I remember a tabloid reporting a story that, hey, Juan Pablo is sending Nikki dick pics. And so you're telling me, that picture came from a group chat where you sent a peanut, a dick pic of a guy that wasn't Juan Pablo to the girls, and that picture somehow ended up in a tabloid as, hey, this is Juan Pablo.
I was going to do it, and we were like laughing about it on the side. I was like, watch this, because the group had gone silent, and I just thought it was funny to mess with them. So I sent a dick picture. I was like, oh my God, sorry, that was supposed to be just to Andy. Nikki told me to send that to Andy. Ignore that. And then everyone's like, oh my God. And then someone in the group, I don't know, I still don't know who it is. Someone in the group went to a tabloid and showed up and like sold the story. And then Nikki's like, oh my God, what did you do?
So, okay. If someone Google searches that, I'm sure they can find the link to that story coming up. Just know, I remember hearing that at the time, and I remember hearing that, no, that wasn't Juan Pablo, but yet some tabloid decided to run with it.
I even reached out to the tabloid because Nikki was kind of upset, which I understand, like, whatever. So I reached out to the tabloid. I'm like, I made this story up. It's completely false. I can show you the picture. You know, I can show you more pictures of that penis so that you know. And they wouldn't take it down. I'm like, oh, well, it happens.
Yeah, it shows you how tabloids work.
That's how they work.
It's amazing because you basically went to them with like, no, that's not the story. Here is the real story. And yet they wouldn't retract their story because the story they ran was salacious and they knew it would get hits.
And they probably already sent that girl $250. So
yeah. Wow. I mean, talk about selling out. $250 for that? Like, geez.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how much tabloids pay, but I don't imagine it's as much as Instagram. So
yeah, no kidding. But you, I mean, it's... If you're sending out dick pics in the group chat, we're 3-4 years removed from that now. Are we able to say that wasn't somebody that you are currently married to, was it?
Oh, God, no.
Okay, just checking.
No. God, he would kill me.
Yeah.
No, it was like a random ex.
Okay.
And I just had it stored.
Was his face like, in the picture? I never saw this, so I'm assuming.
I cropped it.
Okay.
Propped it because, you know, I'm actually very smart about this. You know, if you send a picture that's like from the past, it will say, if someone saves it, saves like from the original date it's taken. So like if I sent an old picture and of my body and was trying to pretend it was current and someone saved it, it would save like 2014. So I cropped it down so that if they did save it, it would look like it was recent, like that he just took the picture. So wow. I was like, okay, I'll crop it down so you can't see like his hands. And so I cropped it. But yeah, I guess that it was believable because it was later sold to a chapel. Like, oh.
Wow. Okay.
Well, those things have happened.
That's some good stuff. From I totally forgot about that story. Thank you for reminding me.
I was stirring the pot after the show. I mean, yeah. Like I did enough on the show, and then I got off and continued to stir the pot.
Well, the best part about that story is after it ran, you go to the tabloid and say that's not Juan Pablo's dick. Take it down. Here's the whole story, and they didn't care. Like they didn't even care.
No, she didn't care. She was like such. I mean, she was so rude about it. She's like, my sources are, you know, blah blah blah. I'm like, oh my god, your sources. I'm the one that gave the picture to your source. My source is reliable because it was someone from the show. Okay, well, I'm also from the show, and that original picture came from my camera roll. I was so mad, but yeah, whatever.
Let's move on to another good friend of yours. Say that again.
Enough about Nikki and Juan Pablo.
Yeah. We'll move on from Nikki and Juan Pablo and talk about Andy and Josh. How about that? Catch me outside. How about that? Anyway. Sorry, that girl.
You're pretty good at that.
Yeah, that girl. Yeah. I'm so intrigued by that girl. I'm going to watch every minute of that reality show she just signed.
I am as well.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, she's so interesting. I saw the original. I was watching Dr. Phil because I am just a dog lover, and I was at home loving the dogs, and I was watching Dr. Phil, and it came on. I'm like, this girl cannot be real life. And then it blew up. And I'm like, I love her. She has like security, and she's getting on fights on planes. And
Oh my God. I mean, the best part about her, as we segue into Cash Me Outside Girl, is the fact that she goes on Dr. Phil. It doesn't really take right away because she went on this past September, but then it didn't really blow up until around December when I guess the episode re-aired or something like that. Then she became a meme. But that whole time after she had left the show in September, he sent her to that ranch out in freaking Montana or something like that, where she actually started to act like a normal girl, didn't talk that way anymore. And then she comes back.
Society ruined her.
Yeah. And then she comes back on the show again, and she's back to talking like a thug. And it's just
Instagram is taking jobs away from working people.
I know. Like, my gosh.
We give anyone a paycheck who has a couple of followers, and
she is a piece of work.
We don't have to be productive members of society.
And then I saw her do an interview with, she did an in studio interview with Big Boy's syndicated radio show, and she had a grill. You know, one of those gold teeth. She had that. She had added that to her repertoire. Like,
I love that about her. It fits. Like, you know what? You wear your girl. Yeah. I love that.
How did we get on Cash Me Outside Girl? Oh, I just said it. Okay.
You're talking about Andy and Josh.
Yes. All right. So let's talk. Let's go to Andy real quick. Kind of a big name in this franchise, obviously.
She's the best.
You are both from Atlanta. And you guys had met, obviously, on Juan Pablo's season, and it was pretty natural that you guys would connect post-show, and she's obviously in New York now. And since she moved to New York, how has your relationship been with her? Like, how often do you see Andy?
I leave Saturday to go up there. I see her a good bit because her family's still here, so she comes here, and then I try to make a trip to New York, you know, every couple... If she hasn't been here, I try to make a trip to New York and see her and Charlene. So I'll go for birthdays for sure. So her birthday's next week. And then Charlene's birthday was in September. So I went then. And it's perfect girls trip because I can stay with her. It's an easy flight. And New York's the best. So we see each other often. I mean, probably once a month. We were together for Super Bowl, which was February, right?
Yeah, so February 5th.
Yeah, so we were together for that, and then I'll see her now. So I see her about once a month.
So I think fans of this show know now that when the final couple, the show ends filming and the final couple go their separate ways, and for the most part, pretty much every season, outside of yours, the final couple usually are two people who live in different states, and the show will arrange meetups to where it is, you know, it's very literally like CIA stuff. They each get picked up separately at the airport. They're brought to a location, usually in Southern California, at a house that they stay in. Well, obviously your season, Andy and Josh were both people from Atlanta. It wouldn't make sense to fly them both to California to have safe house meetings and stuff like that. Maybe they did at some point, but I'm sure, knowing Andy and having spoken to her, you could probably confirm now that I'm guessing Andy and Josh had a lot of visits that went you know what I'm looking for, that the crew and the producers had no idea about.
Yeah, I think initially whenever they got off the show, it's one of those things where they lived 5 minutes down the road from each other. And so late night, one of them would sneak over and like wear a hat and sunglasses and, you know, sneak into each other's house. And then I think producers probably caught on to the fact that they live 5 minutes from each other and they're newly engaged and they're not going to, you know, wait for these secret meetups. So they ended up getting them renting them a place in Atlanta that was, you know, something that it wasn't his prior to the show and it wasn't her. So people didn't know they lived there and they could meet there. So,
and how did
I don't know that they actually ever used that place. I think she just ended up at his place.
Yeah.
Just because it's like one of those things, why are we going to pack a bag but they saw each other often, which I guess is good because they were forming a real relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at that point, it's no longer the honeymoon phase because now you're living with some guy that you've only met for whatever, how many weeks prior to that.
Yeah. They were 8 weeks of filming and then all of a sudden they go back to Atlanta. And, you know, this is one thing that I've always said about the show and the issue that I have with the show, because it's not realistic to, you know, get engaged to somebody at the end of 8 weeks. We know the engagement is just a byproduct of what this show wants. If everybody was really being honest with each other at the end of the show, it would just be, hey, let's just continue. You're the one I choose to continue dating. We don't have to get engaged, but that's what they want.
No, the girls probably want that ring. I mean, are really into engagement. So maybe on the guy's side, they'd want to continue dating, but girls are pretty into engagements.
You're right. The Bachelorette probably different than Bachelor.
I feel like girls would be okay being engaged 200 times, even if it were the wrong guy, just to wear a different ring 200 times. It's like we can still be dating, but yeah.
It makes sense. You're probably right. You know, with Andy, she's probably getting a ring and being engaged on TV is probably it's appealing to them. I guess if we were to go the other way and ask the guys,
they probably would just want to date. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, but with Andy and Josh, it was different for them because they did live close to each other. So if it was going to work out in the long run, neither of them had to make a life-altering move, which is, okay, I'm packing up my stuff and moving to where you live. And for the most part in this franchise, it's always been the girl has to move for the guy. The only one I can think of off the top of my head has been Jordan, who moved to Dallas to live with JoJo. But it's always the girl having to pack up her life and move. So with Andy, they were close. They obviously saw each other a lot.
What a blessing in disguise. I mean, could you imagine like going through a breakup and not being near your family or your friends and like it being so public that you have to like pack up your stuff and get on a plane and have people take pictures of you? I mean, I just couldn't imagine if she had ended up with someone else that did not live in Atlanta and gone through the same breakup. It would have been terrible.
So, in case you didn't hear, Andy wrote a book. And it was...
Did she?
Yeah. It was somewhat controversial.
Is it okay?
Yeah. It was somewhat controversial. One thing maybe that not everybody knows is you actually played a role in this book coming to be. Tell us about that.
So, it's anyone that's read the book knows... when Andy and Josh were breaking up, we were in LA filming for Chris's season premiere. And they did that live red carpet. So they flew us all out there.
Yeah.
And prior to them going out there, I could tell that things, I mean, I knew they always had issues, but I could tell it was like really bad. So she almost didn't go. And then they went and they seemed happy. And then
the next day they broke up.
The next day that we were flying back, we were all in first class. And I was like, Josh, you want to switch seats with me so Andy and I can sit together? Because like my husband would be like, oh my God, please take her. Like y'all have wine together and keep her from talking to me. And he'd be like, please sit together. And he's like, no. I'm like, oh, okay. Not a big deal. So we like, and then Andy's like giving me a look. I'm like, oh, okay. This is awkward. So we fly back, long flight. They don't talk to each other. And then we're getting off the plane and going to baggage claim and they're not speaking. And I'm trying to talk just because it's so awkward.
Yeah.
And Josh, and originally Andy was like, we'll give you a ride home. And then I was like, okay, I'm like calling Uber and we're at baggage claim and they get their bags. I'm like, text me or call me if you need anything. And it wasn't an hour later that I got a text message saying it's done. It's over. I'm getting a hotel room. And then I called her immediately and I was like, you can't get a hotel room. You've got to come here. And she, at first she's like, no, I don't want to like, you know, you and Hunter, y'all been away. I'm like, no, you've got to come in here. Like I made her come to the house. And then they broke up and she lived with me for, I guess, 2 months until moving to New York. So we had lots and lots of time together. And, you know, it's terrible to see anyone go through a breakup, but when it's your best friend and you feel like you can't do anything. So I tried often to get her, you know, active and doing things. And one night we were drinking, of course, yeah. And my husband actually originally said like, oh, you should write a rap song. And so we started like making these rap lyrics. And I still remember the song. It was called Thorn in My Rose, Pain in My Ass. And so we started writing this rap song about Josh and like the breakup. And I was like, well, you've been journaling. Why don't you just turn that into a book? Like, I feel like everyone in Bachelor Nation would love to read like your story and how you're getting through it. And she was like, And so now she wrote a book and it is awesome. She's writing another one and she's like officially a writer, an author. So it's awesome.
So,
but very random.
Yeah. I here was my thing with the book. I mean, as for the book itself, I never read it, but I had a lot of the juicy parts screenshotted to me by readers. And so I got the gist of it. I got the, all the good stuff, you know, the stuff that she wrote about Josh and the wedding story when she was maid of honor and,
yeah, Charleston. Yeah.
And which that story in all and of itself, I'm going to just leave this at this. There was a time, God, I don't even know if I want to open up this can of worms, but I will say this. I will say this, that wedding that Andy attended, that she was the maid of honor for her friend in Charleston, is indirectly related to my stalker that I had 3 years ago. It's crazy. It's absolutely absolutely the most bizarre story in the world. It would take me hours to go over every detail of it, but yeah, I remember that. And that was interesting. But anyway,
so you heard about the story prior to everyone?
No, it had nothing to do with the actual story. But when people were screenshotting me the story of the way Josh acted at the wedding he attended with Andy when she was the maid of honor, and I saw the her maid of honor's or the woman that she her friend that she was maid of honor for, I want to say it was Sarah something.
Sarah.
Yeah, it is indirectly related to the stalker that I had. It's just so bizarre. But anyway, the one thing I wanted to note when Andy and Josh, like I said, she broke up, she moved in with you. You pretty much heard everything about it. And like for the book itself, I don't necessarily agree with what Andy did. She didn't have to write a tell all about guys that she slept with and the, you know, and, you know, trashing her ex, but I get why she did it.
We're going to have different opinions.
Yeah. The thing is, I get why she did it. She didn't have to. If someone said to her, Andy, write a book and we'll pay you nothing for it, and you're going to get nothing out of this, I don't think she would have written the book. I get why she did it.
I do. I actually do. Oh my gosh. Are you kidding? People like start Instagram accounts and may not get anything from it. And then they may. I think that it's like one of those things. It was her way of getting over the breakup. Also, like as a female, we're a lot more emotional. And like, especially dealing with a breakup, we do things that we shouldn't do. And I think that like she wanted to like help other women, like truly, I mean, I've been around her a ton. And if I didn't believe this, I wouldn't say it. I do think she wanted to help other women like get over breakups. And hers was very public. And she had this like fan base. And like, why not? Like, what else is she going to do? Like,
not say anything? Well, she could have not said anything.
Like, everyone wanted to know. And
well, not everyone, because she's taken a lot of heat for it. I mean, what I'm saying, like I said,
now that he's breaking up with Amanda, I want to know like how he really is. I bet she'll get more sales.
But well, yeah, here's the thing about
well, so I know people wanted to know.
Yeah, there were certainly people that wanted to know, absolutely, and that's why she wrote it, because she knew she had a fan base and she knew people would be interested in it.
You should take advantage of that. Like you have a very small window to take advantage of that. So yeah.
And I don't think that it's just not something that I would have done, but I'm not her. She can do whatever she wants. You know, yeah. That's the way it is. Yeah, it's just like, I would never
have picked Josh to begin with. So
yeah, I don't think I could
might as well tell all of our stories about dating douchebags. Like, yeah. I feel like all girls should just write books and tell their stories.
Like I have a whole, you know, I've referenced it a couple times. I have a stalker story. I have an ex-girlfriend story, but I've never shared it publicly because just don't feel that's just not me. And if Andy chooses to do that for her, that's fine. You know, that's something that she chooses to do.
Maybe after the blog, you should write a book about like how all your information, like if the Bachelor, I don't think it'll ever go away. So I think you'll always have a job. But if something happens, you can write a book about like how you got all your information and like all the crazy stories. Like that would be a good book. Everyone would read it. And you should do like 3 books so they have to keep buying them. It's like .. And then go on to the next.
Yeah, it's just something where I've actually spoken about this a few times. I don't think I could ever write a book because the book that people would want me to write would be, like you said, they'd want to know how every season I get my information. And it's stuff over the course of all these seasons that so many people have trusted me with information. Even when the show is over and it's 5-10 years from now, I just don't feel like ever betraying those people's trust. That's just me. I'm sure there's other people out there that would do it. I just don't think
if only you didn't have a soul.
I know. If I didn't have a soul. I mean, that's honestly what it comes down to, because easily I could sell out everybody who ever told me anything and write a book. And I know it would sell and I know people would be interested in it, but it's just not something that I really ever care to do. But
she didn't sell out everything that he ever did. I can assure you there were a ton of things
that she didn't sell.
That she didn't put in that book that she could have. And
are they coming in the second book though?
I'm just like, I get what you're saying, but she kind of took it easy on him. She took it really easy on Nick. But I mean, like, there are things she could have put. She wasn't out. Like, I don't think that the book comes across that she's out to like get Josh. I think she was telling her story and the way that she got over it. And she was vulnerable in the book and she was hard on herself in the book too. Like, it wasn't just like, I was an angel and he did all of these things. Like, she was very honest about her role and everything. So I mean, we disagree on that, but
yeah. And I think for Andy, like I said, I didn't read it, and I would hope that she didn't write a book where it was just completely one side and I did nothing wrong and Josh was this monster. But I think what has helped Andy throughout all of this is Josh's actions on Paradise last summer, because it was essentially, even though I didn't read the whole book, the stuff that I was told about and the stuff that I did hear about Josh basically all played out on television for us last summer. So it lended a lot of credibility to her.
Yeah, when we were in Greece whenever that aired, and I can remember like her books, like people buying books, like the sales going up in Paradise. Like we were in Greece, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's, I guess, you know, because all this time of them being together, Josh never supported like her going back to work or like having a career. I'm like, well, I guess he's supporting you now. Like he's supporting that career now. But yeah, I mean.
What now? What was your, like, Was this something that you saw early on with Andy and Josh, just hanging out with them? Did you see like, oh God, these two are going to never make it? Like, what was your impression of Josh when you first met him compared to when Andy moved in with you and you heard everything? Yeah. Like, tell me about that.
Well, so I first met him whenever I went on a date with Andy, like in California. So Charlene and I went to LA and went on that date where they were like the stripper date.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I went into it knowing that Josh was on the show just because Atlanta is like everyone talks. And so I had heard of him. So I didn't go in with like an open mind about Josh. And prior to the date, she was telling me, like, she's like, I kind of like this one guy. Like, and I'm like, please tell me it's not the guy from Atlanta. And she's like, yeah, it is. And I'm like, okay, like, I'm going to watch and like see and da 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 da. And she's like, you know, I think, you know, he's different from everyone else. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. So during the date, like, I made sure that I paid extra attention to him just because she's already telling me, like, this is the guy that I like. And it's so early on that I'm like nervous. So I'm watching him and he's like more worried about everyone paying him attention in the crowd than he is about Andy. There were some guys who'd like make sure that Andy was like watching them. But he was worried about like women in the crowd being more into him than the other guys. Wow. So that rubbed me the wrong way. And I said something to her about it. And she's like, okay, I'll just keep an eye on him. And then when she FaceTimed me, whenever she was in Dominican, I think is where they got engaged.
Yeah.
And she showed me it was him. I was like, oh, yay. And like had to be happy for my friend because at that point it's like, okay, she's smart and independent and I have to trust that she knows what she's doing. I have to trust, you know, at that point you can't do anything. So when they come back, I'm starting to see like less of her, which I understand they're in a new relationship.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where it's like we would get invited to like a restaurant opening. And restaurant, it was like, we got invited to a friends and family where they test everything on friends and family before the restaurant opens. And we get there at 8 and by 9:30, he's texting, why aren't you home yet? And she's like, well, I have dinner with my girlfriends and it's taking forever because it's friends and family. And he's like, I mean, you love to do this. Go out with your girlfriends and leave me here, which she's with him all the time. Like they don't work. So
yeah.
Like, why can she not go? And it was already starting to like small things add up. So you saw that. And then whenever we were around them, it's hard to like even explain it. He has this way of like, he's very manipulative. Everyone loves him at first. He's good at like making people like him initially.
It's the smile and the teeth whitener. It's the smile. Yeah. I mean, it's engaging. We're blinded by his whiteness.
He's good at that. So he'll fool you at first, but there's, you know, he was a bit of a hothead and there were times where I was just like, oh, and Andy, she's very strong and sticks to her guns. So if something's bothering her, she'll want to argue about it. She's an attorney.
Yeah.
Whereas he's not really smart enough to have a like intelligent argument, you know, conversation, whatever. So I didn't see that going well. And then I think that he should not be with someone that's smarter than him because it makes him feel like less of a man. So I think that it like made him feel like less of a man, which made him more, I don't know. It was just not a good combination. They were a very pretty couple though.
Yeah. Would have had wonderful looking kids apparently.
Yeah. Beautiful kids.
But yeah, well, as we saw Paradise play out, and then we see his relationship with Amanda happen, and then he gets engaged again after a 2.5 week courtship with Amanda.
Is that how long Paradise is?
Yeah, Paradise films for 18 days. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, so he gets with Amanda, and Josh technically wasn't even on. He wasn't part of the initial cast. He came on right after Amanda had gone out on that date with Nick. So technically, maybe Josh was a 16-day tryst with Amanda where he couldn't keep his tongue out of her mouth. They both couldn't keep their tongues out of each other's mouths and literally just made out in front of everybody for 16 straight days, get engaged. And then we see the back and forth that has happened ever since, you know, August with these two. I mean, whether or not you agree with what Andy did in her book and what she said about Josh and just talking about an ex like she did in her book, you can't you can't not admit that what Josh has done post show on social media and on television has pretty much proven Andy to be right. And, you know, I don't think, you know, when Josh was on the show saying stuff like, I don't pay attention to that book, and, you know, that's just one side. It's like, you know, Josh, and I said this at the time, it's like, really? Do you think Andy sat there and wrote a book and relayed all these stories and just made everything up out of thin air? It's like, no.
Yeah.
You know,
I also think, like, it's hard to, you know, read terrible things about yourself.
Yeah.
So I don't think that, you know, anyone wants to read that. And of course, he's going to be, you know, on the edge and defensive about it. But at the same time, Andy would never go out there and, like, make up complete lies about someone and then write a book about it.
Yeah. And I think there would be legal issues against that.
Yeah.
And,
you know, for sure.
And I think the issue with Josh, I think that the thing that a lot of people seem to have an issue with him, is the fact that he's very passive aggressive. Like, when that all came down, he would always say, like, I'm not going to respond to stuff like that, and then would kind of respond to it in a way by calling it garbage or something like that. So it was very, he always pretended he was ignoring it, but he was still taking digs at her while he was, quote unquote, ignoring it, and I don't want to talk about that stuff. And then would put up some God quote, which made it look even worse.
He's still doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's passive aggressive in that sense, but he's, like, in person, he is aggressive. I mean, there's no passiveness about him. So it's interesting that in reality, like in social media world, it's different than reality. But I mean, I'm sure he will find someone that is okay with him telling them what to do and how to act and, you know, all of those things. I mean, and will love Jesus as much as he does, because it seems to be very important.
And somebody that will not only deal with that and put up with that, but also has to account for Mama Murray being in their life. Because Mama Murray, I mean, can you speak to anything in terms of, and when I talk about Mama Murray, I'm talking about Lauren Murray, Josh's mother, who likes to take up for him a lot on social media.
Well, it's her baby.
I mean, yeah, it's just,
I would take up for Molly if someone were talking shit about my dog. So I get it. You know, I can't say anything about her. I've never personally met her. I've obviously heard stories, but I feel like, so it's the same I feel about Hunter. Whenever people were, like, rude to him, if I post a picture of him, he didn't sign up for that. He didn't, like, sign up for the attention of social media and stuff. I, like, try to share my personal life with people and then they say stuff, blah, blah, blah. I don't think Lauren Murray signed up to get that. And even though she kind of makes it known that, like, she's out there and she wants the attention, I just can't personally say anything about it until she goes on a reality show. And then it's, like, all game.
I think, you know, I feel like you and I could talk about Andy and Josh, more or less Josh for hours.
Yeah.
But I do want to make
obviously
it known that
I am Team Andy. I love her. I think she is the greatest. She is one of my best friends. And I am glad that the breakup happened.
Yeah.
Because it would be tragic if she ended up with him. So
yeah, I think that, and for the record, I just want to state, like, I have no problem that Andy wrote the book. It's just that if someone asked me, would I do that if I was in the same position as her, my answer would just be, you know, no. I wouldn't share that stuff about my ex. But I get why she did.
I'm opposite. I probably would have, like, shared everything and just told every terrible story about him, and then I would have pretended I was an angel. So she's better person than me.
Yeah, like, I don't think that. I mean, I don't think she's a terrible person at all. She did what she did, and people can judge her, and they certainly have judged her because of it. Plenty of people love her. Plenty of people love the book. They love the fact that she, I mean, sales have proved that. But yeah, of course, nobody is universally liked, and anything that she did, she's going to get, you know, negative feedback on by some people. But it is what it is. And would I have done it? No, but I get why she did it. So, I mean, props to her. She's done well.
Yeah. I hope that, like, Amanda follows suit and maybe writes a rap song.
Well, I don't know about a rap song, but I could have sworn I got an email maybe a week ago or 2 weeks ago where someone where Amanda actually put it on her Snapchat or Instagram story where she was in front of a computer and was basically saying like she was writing a book. And I think she is.
Really?
Yeah, I think Amanda is writing a book.
She
made it known. Now, granted, I'm sure there's going to be Josh stuff in there. So yet again, Josh is now going to have to defend himself with two ex-girlfriends that he lived with, both saying not nice things about him. It's like, Josh, where there's smoke, there's fire. Like, you can't just keep saying like, oh, they're just making all this stuff up. Like, come on. It's kind of obvious at this point.
I'll read her book too. I love it.
Yeah.
And Josh has never done anything to me personally. Obviously, it's just, he's done a lot of awful things to my very best friend. So
yeah. Okay.
I'm obviously a little biased.
So how we're going to wrap up. Can we wrap up? We'll wrap up the interview right now with something I call the Rapid 10, where I have 10 random questions. Oh. Some are show related, some aren't. And
I just have to be honest.
Yeah. Just go through these
I'm
questions.
At that.
Yeah, I know you really need to pull back the reins on some of your answers today. You know, you just haven't been open enough with me. Okay, so this is the Rapid 10, and I'm just going to go through these and answer them however you want. Question number one, tell us something about yourself that most people would be shocked to know.
Oh, something about me that most people would be shocked to know. I don't eat salad.
Really?
Yeah, at all. I hate salad. I hate leafy greens, actually, all of them. Yeah.
I think
no salad.
Who was it that said that recently? Was it the twins on Ben's season that said, like, we don't eat, they were the ones that said, we don't eat vegetables and we just eat candy.
Vegetables.
Okay. You just don't eat lettuce.
I don't eat salad. Yeah. I hate the texture. I'm a texture girl and, I mean, it makes me gag.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Question number two. You are another one of the girls in the franchise that is known for having great hair. So give us some of your best hair tips. Besides never going in a bald cap.
Yeah. I take prenatals for my hair and it really works. I don't do the sugar bear things. I don't wash it that often. The more you wash it, like the more you have to wash it. So it gets greasy and it doesn't hold curl. So I don't wash it that often. And I sleep with it in a bun. So it always holds the curl. So I'm like never touching it because I don't like restyle it.
Okay.
So that's why it's always, I know I'm glad I have good hair because I've got that going for me. yeah. Everyone always comments on it, but I think those are the tips and a good hairstylist. Always takes a team.
I know that Christy Hansen from your season is a good friend of yours. Does she ever do your hair? She had to have done your hair.
No,
at some point.
You do not mix friends and hair.
Oh, okay.
No. I my hair is my thing. And if something happened and it was her fault, I would hate her. so I don't mix friends and hair. I think it's a bad idea.
Okay.
And I also think that, like, if they mess up, you feel bad about going to somewhere else. It just makes it awkward. It's not a good thing.
All right. Question number three. When you were on Juan Pablo season, we kind of touched on this earlier, but I want to get a specific here. What was one thing that he either said to you or to the group in general where you couldn't for the life of you understand what the hell he was saying? Was there one thing in particular that stood out?
Oh, God. Like a word, I really can't think. I didn't understand him often just because they would make, well, okay, what about whenever he announced like names? And so the one where Kylie walked up, it was very clear that it was Kat, but oftentimes he would say like something, someone else's name, and you'd be like, who is that? And everyone would look, and then the girl would go forward, and you're like, oh, okay. So like he was really bad like at rose ceremonies. And he was one where he had to walk out every two names. So I'm sure, like, I know Andy didn't have to do it every two names, but when they're filming rose ceremonies, they take breaks and they like walk out. So they'll say two names and then they walk out. Well, I think it's more than two names typically, but every two names he walked out and like would have to remember two more names and walk back in. So rose ceremonies took so long. And in the first night, we had 30 girls, which was more than normal. It was so bad. I'm like, oh my God, can someone just do a voiceover?
Yeah, I think from past leads we've heard it's about four or five names, and they go back, talk to producers, and do four or five. But he was doing two. Okay, good good one, Juan Pablo. That's right. I totally forgot the first rose ceremony where he said Kat and Kylie started walking forward.
It happened twice that night. Another girl, too. It was like Lacey and somebody else. Lacey thought her name, but it wasn't as funny, so they didn't show that.
Okay.
And I think it was like the last rose. Lacey didn't get the rose, but she thought it was her. Yeah, it was someone else.
All right, question number four. You never did Paradise because you were back with Hunter pretty close to after filming had ended. But do you have a mini bachelor crush on any guy that if you were single, you would have went on Paradise for?
Back then, I guess Zach Coulter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I thought he was like cute and seemed like he had a good family. And now his girlfriend is like beautiful.
She also looks like she's 12.
I think she is.
Yeah, she is really. Yeah, I mean, good for him that he's got a girlfriend, but she looks like really young.
I think she's like 21. But I've met him and he's always been great. And never mind. That's neither here nor there. But yeah, back then, I guess it would have been him. Oh, long time ago before I was on the show. And I'm embarrassed to even admit this now that I know the guy. I was obsessed with Jeff Holm.
Oh, jeez.
I thought he was like, and he's like 5'2", and I'm 5'10". But back then I was like, oh my God, he's like the greatest thing ever. And now I'm like, what the? We all have those though, right?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
See him commenting on the recent girls thing, still trying to get in there. using Bachelor.
He's gotten
family as a dating app. Maybe we should start an app, a dating app for all past Bachelor contestants.
Well, I mean, that's just called Twitter direct message. I mean, that's all.
I know, but like, you know, it gets harder and harder because some of the new girls won't know the guys from like 10 years ago.
Oh.
So if they could just all sign up for an app, I mean, we may be on to something. Yeah.
And Jeff isn't trying. He's already in. I can tell you that
is
much.
He?
Yeah.
Oh.
And there is a chance that you might be seeing Jeff on your TV this summer. If Alon has anything to say about it, he won't be. But I know that Jeff. I know that Jeff wants badly on Paradise. So
good.
We'll see if.
Okay.
See
I don't
if it
have
happens.
A crush on him anymore, so yeah, I can watch
thank God.
Him and tweet about him and not be completely obsessed with him.
All right. Question number five was something I had written before we even started the interview, and then we completely covered it in the interview. So now I don't have a question number five. So I'm going to think of something literally.
What was question number five?
It was any truth to the rumor of a Mean Girls Club. I forgot that was in my rapid 10 and I asked it earlier. So let me think of something off the top of my head. Favorite ice cream. Just go. What's your favorite ice cream?
I actually don't like ice cream.
Okay, this sucks. Okay, let me think of a different one. Favorite meal to cook? I don't know. What's your favorite meal to cook?
So I am like, I try to be one of these like wives who still cooks dinner for their husband. Like I believe in like old fashioned love, which I don't think exists anymore.
Yeah.
But like Connor loves like coming home to home cooked meals. So I ask him every day, I'm like, is there anything you're craving? And if not, then I just try to like cook something semi-healthy and fun. My favorite thing to actually cook is manicotti. It's my mom's recipe, and I do homemade shells, and it's really impressive, but really easy, and it's so good. And it's like eating pasta, but the shells are so light that it like you don't leave feeling disgusting.
Love manicotti. I'd love to ship me some of it. How about that?
Yeah.
Sure,
I'll freeze
great.
It. Yeah.
Okay, question number six, your celebrity guy and girl crushes.
Oh, okay, celebrity guy? This is going to be so terrible because he's not hot. But right now, I think he's so sexy. I'm even embarrassed to say it. Ed Sheeran.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
A ginger of all people.
Okay. I'm about to tell you why.
Okay.
My celebrity girl is Taylor Swift. I'm obsessed with her.
Well, that makes two of us. So I'm.
Yeah. And Ed Sheeran could like get me in with my real crush, Taylor Swift.
Oh, okay.
But,
gotcha.
And I am attracted to guys who are like
I don't know, really smart or really funny or have like something. It's not like, because looks fade. You know, hopefully everyone knows that by now. So yeah. I don't know. I think he's so cool. Like every time he does an interview, he's like, he just gives this like vibe that he's cool, which is, I get it. He's not hot, but yeah, I think he's so cute.
Oh, okay. Question number seven.
And I'm like terrified of ginger babies, so I could never have his babies, but like, I'm completely terrified. No offense to anyone watching that has ginger babies. I'm just not smart enough or funny enough to properly raise ginger. So I'm terrified that I'm going to get ginger babies.
Gotcha. All right. Question number seven. Five makeup products in your bag right now that you absolutely cannot leave your house without.
Ooh, well, I don't take makeup out of the house other than lip gloss. I'm not a girl that like reapplies makeup. Can it be five products in general?
Yeah, just do in general since you don't bring
them out. Yeah, I don't bring them out of the house. Mascara is number one, and it's this Armani mascara. It's incredible. If anyone doesn't use it, they should. Anastasia Brow Wiz for eyebrows.
Okay.
Because those two things alone, you need nothing else. Coconut oil. Because if I could only have five things, you can use coconut oil on like your face, your body, everywhere.
Okay.
My lip gloss of choice would probably be the Buxom in any color because it also has a little plumper in it and it's so good. And number five, my teeth whitening. I'm just kidding. There's this toner that I love, but I can't think of, I snap it all the time. So anyone that follows me knows, but it's like my swear to product. I originally got it from Charlene and I've been on it for 2 years and it changed my skin.
Nice.
So my toner.
But you don't remember, don't remember the product name on that one.
No.
Okay.
It's something, I don't know. It's only in France. You have to get it like shipped to you. Or if you live in New York, they sell it in New York. But gotcha. It's incredible.
All right. Question number eight. Let's see here. Eight. This is kind of deep.
Okay.
What was the lowest point of your life and what brought you out of it?
Oh, God.
I know.
You know, recently, I don't know if it's the lowest point, but this is like what I can think of off the top of my head. My father passed away in September like very unexpected. And my father was always someone who like I looked up to so much just because he's super bright. Like my father's gay. I shared that on the show, or was gay. And he was someone who came out at a time when being gay was not a thing and in a town where it's still not accepted. So I looked up to him in terms of like he was, you know, himself all the time. And he like didn't sacrifice, you know, any other, like he didn't care about anyone's opinion. He was just who he was. And I looked up to him because he always taught me like you need to be yourself. And if people don't like it, they don't like it. And you can't live life like being miserable and trying to be what everyone else wants you to be because then, you know, you'll have some people happy, but you'll be miserable. So that was a pretty low point when he passed away just because he was just such a big part and had always played such a big role. And what brought me out of it is my husband and my friends and like what I've created for myself and like every value that he ever taught me, I try to live by daily. And I think it really helped, and I hope that like I can pass it on to my children and everyone else.
Well, I'm sorry.
That was deep.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't know that about your dad. My condolences.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Let's move on to something a little more fun. Question number nine. I want to completely go a 180. Do you remember first off, did you go to your senior prom? Do you remember your date's name? Who was it? Was it fun?
I was homeschooled in high school.
Oh. God, every time I've asked this question, I think I've asked it three times on Rapid 10, and everybody I've asked it to has not gone to their senior prom.
Yeah. I went to a prom, but it was not my own. And yeah, I was homeschooled. So I can't answer that. Won everything in high school, most likely to succeed. Yeah.
All right, no problem. That's just apparently I'm gonna have to strike that question from Rapid 10 now because I can't find somebody.
You need to do like a background check to make sure that you can find their high school prom picture.
Gosh, I had no idea. Okay. Okay, so the final question in Rapid 10, question number 10, is always something that I call explain your tweet, where I rummage through your Twitter account and I find a tweet that you said.
That could be really bad.
And I have you explain it. Now, I noticed that you did not live tweet very much during Nick's season, so there wasn't a lot in 2017.
Very bored.
And a lot of your tweets are live tweets from the show, so it's very self-explanatory, a lot of your tweets. It's like, we know exactly what you're saying. You're very transparent. You don't have
a lot of... tweet to everyone.
Yeah, that too.
I have no opinion on anyone.
You don't really give... Basically, you're not Josh Murray. You don't give cryptic tweets where we know you're throwing shade at somebody.
I know, and I don't take them down either. I should go back and like take down tweets now. God.
Yeah. But I did find one that it's kind of self-explanatory, but it's something I want to call you out for. And you wrote this on August 30th of last year, and the tweet read...
I know what it is. Okay, go ahead.
You know what it is?
I bet I do.
Okay. It is, you said, I know this goes against popular opinion, but I like brownie batter more than raw cookie dough. Please explain how the hell you can like brownie batter better than cookie dough.
That is not the tweet I was thinking. oh my God, you are crazy. Cookie dough, it's like...
Oh, it's so good.
Homemade cookie dough. Okay, you're not homemade or prepackaged?
Either one. cookie dough is great.
Prepackaged cookie dough to me tastes like the package. Like, I want to like it. I like the chocolate chips. I like the texture. But I can taste the wrapper. It tastes so processed that I'm like, oh, gross. Like, I want to be a fat ass without feeling like I'm a fat ass, you know? And then cookie dough that you're like making, the texture isn't the same as the prepackaged one. So the texture bothers me.
Okay.
Now, brownie batter, it's like you can literally just take your finger along it and you don't feel like you're eating a lot because you're not having to chew. You just like scoop it up with your finger and like lick it off. And then before you know it, the bowl's clean and you don't even have to put it in the dishwasher. Okay. And it like feels like you didn't eat anything. It's so good. I want to go make brownies now just for that reason.
just for that reason. What was the tweet that you thought I was going to say?
I thought it was going to be a tweet where I said something about, I can't even remember what the tweet said, but it was like when Ashley Spivey like gave a review on Andy's book. And I was like not happy with it, and not that I like said something snarky about it. But then, I mean, I made it obvious that it was to her.
Okay.
I probably didn't
get that far back. I think it was before August because if I would have seen that, I probably would have used that one. Read,
yeah. I thought it was around that time. I wasn't mad about. I know she does like book reviews. I just feel like we should have like some respect for each other because we know like how hard it is to be and like why review the book even if you hate it, just don't say anything about it.
Yeah.
And it was like a harsh review on her Instagram and it just made me so mad. I think I had a glass of wine that night too. Probably.
Okay, well, congratulations, Kelly. You have completed the Rapid 10. That wasn't so bad now, was it?
No.
Okay.
It's good.
Well, I want to thank you for this conversation. Like I said, I think we could have talked about Andy forever and Josh more or less. I wanted to
more
about Josh, but, I really appreciate you coming on and taking the time to do this.
Me.
No, I think the listeners are going to love your candidness and love you, your fact that you have zero filter. And that's what I like in my guests. Charlene, same thing. I know we had Claire on from your season who was very open about, she never said anything, in case you didn't hear it. She didn't say anything about you, but she was very open about the season and filming and, you know, getting as far as she did.
Oh.
And that day and waking up that morning and all the stuff that she had dealt with.
Yeah, I listened to Charlene's, but I didn't listen to Claire's. I'll have to go back.
No, you won't. Okay. but anyway.
No, I don't have anything against her. She hates me.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And good luck to you in the future and everything that you do. And we'll be in touch.
Thank you. Thanks.
You got it, Kelly. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks to Kelly for that. That was a lot of fun to talk to her. I know that this was the first interview in a while that definitely had some glitches. I could tell you why. I will defend Kelly on this. And she had told me before the interview, because I've done all my interviews on Skype audio. I don't like to do it on cell phones because we're at the mercy of a signal. But Kelly told me because of her two dogs, if she was just in the living room hanging out, that there would be probably a lot of barking. And I told, and she said, hey, I'm doing this just so you know, I'm in the closet. She was in one of the closets in her room. And as you can tell, like when she was talking, you could hear her clear, but there were obviously a lot of like glitches as you listen to that interview. And it's because she didn't want to be in a room where the dogs would be all over her and barking. Her husband was due home soon, and they would have barked when he walked in the door. So she wanted to get away from that. But obviously, there were some definite audio glitches there. I apologize for that. But what we did hear from Kelly, I mean, you could hear all of it. It's just seems like every other sentence there was a small hitch on things. So, again, I do thank Kelly for coming on. That was great. And the Andy stuff and the Josh stuff was very honest, and I appreciate her doing that. So that'll do it. I appreciate you again, once again, all of you for tuning in and listening to this. I haven't thanked you enough in regards to the podcast and the reception I've got on this. So that's great. If you can subscribe and rate and review in iTunes, that definitely helps me. But going forward, we'll be back next week with podcast number 19. I don't know again who it is just yet, but I will keep you updated on that. I'm heading to California for the weekend tomorrow, so I might not get next week's podcast guest solidified until next Tuesday or Wednesday. So until then, thank you again for tuning in. I appreciate it, and we will talk to you next week. See ya.
Streaming May 23rd, only on BET Plus. Miss Pat is back.
I'm excited.
And it's time for some grown-ass family time.
I am a man.
Oh, you a man?
That's right.
Then take my clothes off. You ain't pay for none of that on your back.
Dad, you can't ignore your mother forever.
I've tried.
Would you like me to backhand you again?
The Miss Pat Show. Streaming May 23rd on BET Plus. To sign up and learn more, visit BET.plus.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day all-purpose cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria on hard, non-porous surfaces around your home with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because,
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. It doesn't matter what job you're up against. Works, cordless, power tools, and lawn equipment have the power for you to get the job done faster and easier. The PowerShare 20-volt batteries run longer on a single charge, and they can be used with other Works tools. Check out Menards' entire selection of Works cordless power tools and lawn equipment today on Menards.com. Save big money.